Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're like me, this is probably one of the favorite portions of God's Word that you have, perhaps even a section of the Bible that you know by heart. I would wager it's a section of God's Word that you might return to again and again for comfort and strengthening, especially in the face of problems and tragedies that you might face in your life or in the lives of your loved ones. When a loved one dies unexpectedly, or when a close friend gets cancer or has a heart attack in the prime of life, this portion of God's Word gives us great comfort because it reminds us that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what tragedy or attack of Satan assails us, nothing can separate us from God's love for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so let's spend some time together this morning just basking in the beauty of this text. And let's think about this text in the context of the church year. The Sundays in Lent show us how Jesus, our Savior King, fights our battles for us against our greatest spiritual enemies. Every year on the first Sunday in Lent, like today, we see Jesus go head to head in a showdown with Satan in the desert. Jesus underwent the temptations of the devil in our place, and he overcame all of those temptations for us. The gospel reading for today from the Gospel according to St. Mark, which is sometimes known as the Gospel of Action, speeds through this whole 40-day struggle between Jesus and the devil with just two short verses. As we read, "The Spirit immediately sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels were serving him." Now, let's not be misled by how quick and easy the temptation seems to be in these two short verses. Certainly, those temptations that Jesus underwent were anything but quick and easy. We read from the Gospels according to St. Matthew and St. Luke that Jesus did not eat anything during that whole 40-day period of temptation. Can you imagine how strong, or rather how weak, you would have been against temptation in that same situation? And fasting surely wasn't even the worst part of it for Jesus. The devil, knowing the great victory that he could win if he could just get Jesus to fall into sin, he used all of his tricks and all of his worst temptations to try to overthrow the Son of God at that time. But in spite of the grueling difficulty of that struggle, there was never any doubt about the outcome of that struggle. Jesus could not have been anything but victorious, because even in his state of humiliation, when he didn't make full use of his power and glory that was his as God, he still was true God. He is the true God who created the universe and all that is in it. He's the true God who knows God's powerful word by heart and who used it effectively to destroy all those flaming arrows of the evil one. The wonderful result of Jesus' victory is not simply the bragging rights that it gives us over the devil, which, by the way, is a powerful weapon that we can use in the face of the devil's temptations against us. When the devil comes tempting, we can shut down the devil's lies and nullify his power by rubbing his face in the shame of his own defeat by Jesus there in the desert. But the most important result of Jesus' victory over the devil's temptations is what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us about in chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, when he writes, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God gave us his own Son. He gave us his Son to be our substitute in resisting temptation. And he gave us his own Son to be our substitute in paying for the times when we have not resisted temptation. You know the sins that you need to repent of. You know the secret sins of your heart. You and maybe others who know you also know the not secret sins of your words and actions. And of course, God knows all of those sins. In the gospel today, Jesus calls us to repent. And at the same time that he calls us to repent, he also gives us motivation to come to him in repentance, not in fear and dread of punishment, but in the confidence of the forgiveness of our sins that Jesus has won for us by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. And that's why Jesus does not only say repent, but he says repent and believe in the gospel, the good news. And the Apostle Paul elaborates on this good news for us in our sermon text from the Epistle to the Romans when he says these words, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Well, the answer to that question, of course, is no one. Surely the devil tries. He tries to accuse us of our sin before God. The devil tries to make us fall into despair and to keep us trapped in a prison of guilt and shame about our sins. But God beats down the accusations of our accuser, the devil. God breaks us free from that prison of guilt with these words from our reading. Who will bring an accusation against God's elect? And the answer again, of course, is no one. Yes, the devil will try, but all of his efforts will fail, vastly overpowered by the grace of God. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one that can? Yes, the devil tries to condemn us, but he and his pitiful attempts at condemnation come to nothing because God has declared righteous in Jesus Christ our Savior. And so Paul continues in our reading. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is the one who is at God's right hand and who is also interceding for us. These words remind me of the Easter hymn by C.F.W. Walther, "He's Risen, He's Risen," which goes like this. The foe, the devil, was triumphant when on Calvary the Lord of creation was nailed to the tree. In Satan's domain did the hosts shout and jeer, for Jesus was slain whom the evil ones fear. But short was their triumph. The Savior arose, and death, hell, and Satan, he vanquished his foes. The conquering Lord lifts his banner on high. He lives, yes, he lives, and will never more die. Jesus' resurrection sealed our forgiveness. If the devil had any delusions about victory on Good Friday, those delusions were totally crushed on Easter Sunday morning because Jesus lives. Death's reign is done. All our sins are forgiven. Satan's worst weapons of guilt and shame are destroyed. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So St. Paul asks us rhetorically, if God is for us in this way, who can be against us? And so we answer with resounding, no one. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? Now these words can be a little bit confusing to us, but don't get tripped up by the wording or by the logic that Paul uses. It simply goes like this. God gave his own son to death for us, right? And if he would do that for us, in order to solve the biggest problems that we have, our spiritual problems, then don't you think that God will take care of all of the little problems in our lives for us too? He has given us this greatest blessing of his own son. So don't you think he will give us all other blessings as well? Of course he will. And so then the Apostle Paul asks, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Not at all. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present nor things to come, nor powerful forces, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even death. Not even death. The Apostle Paul quoted a saying, for your sake, you're being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Whether we or our loved ones are faced with death at the hand anti-Christian forces, or sudden death from tragedy or disease, we know that even death separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus has won eternal life for us. He has sealed eternal life for us. He died, and he rose, and because he lives, we know that we also will live. This saving love of Jesus carries us across the divide of death, between this life and the life that is to come. In fact, the life that Jesus has given to us through faith in him can never be extinguished by physical death. When we fall asleep in death here on this earth, we will wake up immediately there in heaven in the loving arms of our Savior Jesus. So no matter what it is that we face in our lives, no matter what trouble or hardship or persecution, sickness, disease or death, temptation, sin or guilt, remember that you have been declared righteous because of the love of Jesus your Savior. And that there is no condemnation for you before God, because you are in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is your sure defense, and nothing, absolutely nothing in heaven or in hell can separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Amen. Please stand. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.